Thank you, Ms. Blair. What a blessing, amen. And I'm thankful for the good God that we serve. This morning, if you'll take your Bibles and go to the book of Micah in the Old Testament. Let me see if I can do this. Was it Daniel, Hosea, if you get anywhere near there, right? Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, amen. So if you find one of them books, keep turning right. Head towards the back, amen. And many of you may know the story of Jonah best out of all those different prophets. And but here, Micah is one of the Old Testament prophets. And again, I'm going to preach a message for the tape room's sake. We'll call it incomparable or uncomparable love. It's not comparable. I don't know about you, but it's the love. It's this month is about love, the love of God, amen. Can't help but think about that. And if you're married and you got to be thinking ahead to Valentine's Day, right? Or even if you're a parent, you got to be thinking, at least at my home, you know, I not only have to buy things for my wife, but I have to buy things for my little girl. Because I don't want her going and getting another Valentine. And man, I'd have to break his legs. Right? You say you wouldn't do that. Not while anybody was looking. Amen. We can fun around about that kind of stuff, but we do. We realize that it's that season, and we do have people that love us. But folks, as I begin, just let me remind you today that God's love is really when we try to measure out, when we thought about that significant other or someone that does love us, when we measure the love, God's love is really, the book of Proverbs teaches in contrast or weighs things out. This is better than this. But God's word, when it comes to God's love, it just talks about its greatness. It can't be compared to anything else. In the book of Ephesians, when he tries to tell us the way we ought to love, he uses earthly things to try to teach us that God's love, or the love that he had for his church, that the husband ought to love like that, but he doesn't compare it to a husband's love because he can't equal that. He's always trying to attain the love that God has. We're trying to reach the plane that God has set forth in his love for us. Think about it this way. If I could, I'll say it like this. That, you know, when I was young, people used to pick those flowers. And they say, she loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. It was a real problem when you got to the love me not one on the end. Right? You want to go, she loves me. Loves me not. There you go. All right. So, you know. And so as we think about the love of God, you know, it, really, truly, folks, God loves us even when we were unlovable. Amen. God loved us while we were yet sinners. So when we pluck the flower that God gives us of his word and we see, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And we could put and measure all the things about ourselves, whether it's good or bad, and every time we pull a pedal, it's going to be, God loves me. Every time. Now, you may think that that's just too lovey-dovey for you today. Amen. But here in Micah, Micah's going to come to the back of the book. He's been making prophecies, and I do realize that the primary purpose of the book was he was a prophet of Israel, and he's writing to his people. But I want to go, this book in the Old Testament is given for us. Again, we can apply it to the New Testament Christian. So today we're going to make an application from an Old Testament prophecy for a New Testament age, because God, since the beginning of all the world, as we preached before, the foundation of the world was ever laid. God loved me and God loved you. He had a plan throughout the ages, and he made man and knew he would sin anyway. And so that is all pictured and covered under God's love. Amen. So in Micah, I hope you found it. If you haven't, you may want to give up on it. But I hope not. I hope you already found it. I know it's kind of in the Old Testament there, but we do want to pray before we get started. And so if I hear pages rattling, I know you're still not there yet, all right, while we're praying. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we just ask you, God, to do what we can't do. Lord, I look over all the people of God that have come to this place, God, and I know that they need a word from you. They need your word, Lord, to reach out and touch their heart. Holy Spirit of God, That is the only the work that you can do. And I ask you and I beg you again at this time to let me be your messenger boy, Lord. Use your word and just my lips to speak your words to your people. Speak your message to do the work that you want to do this morning. I pray, God, if people are here and they're not saved, I pray that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by the drawing of your Holy Spirit this morning. God, I ask secondly that if there are people that are away from you and they need to come home and walk closer to God, that today, because of the love of God, that you would draw them unto yourself. Holy Spirit of God, I pray you do that work. And number three, God, I pray that if there are people here that just, Lord, they've lost their way, they've got off the path, and their foot has slipped, and they need to get back on the path, God, today would be the day that they choose to walk closer to you than they've ever been. In this late hour, God, help us to be faithful, be found faithful for you. In Jesus' name, amen. In Micah chapter 7, we'll just read a few of the verses at the end here, and we will use our Bible and we'll turn from the book, and maybe we will not come back to this reference, but I want you to look at the prophet as he writes about God, and he says in verse 18, "Who is a God like unto thee?" The question is posed by an Old Testament prophet trying to explain how uncomparable God's love truly is. He makes a statement that maybe it seems like it's Old Testament to you, but it was true in the Old Testament about our God. And he just makes a question, who could you even compare our God to? Amen. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Now, I want you to get this, because this is some prophetical things I'll say at the beginning, and then we're going to run about the love of God. Look at verse 20. Thou wilt perform thy truth to Jacob, and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. And when we encompass the love of God was never simply and solely for the Jew. The Old Testament Jew, the New Testament Jew, the nation of Israel itself is the apple of God the Father's eye. I referenced it in Sunday school and spoke a little bit about it in Psalms as we studied Psalm 17 this morning and just looked at it, and he says, keep me as the apple of thine eye. And he's speaking, David praying and asking God for something there, but just again reminding God's people that God is not done or thrown off the nation of Israel. He will institute, as he says here, he promises through his prophet in verse 20, thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob. There are many people that are lost in their sins because they believe that they're looking for Jesus to come again and set up a kingdom and that will save us. No, no, no. Jesus came and laid down his life and died on Calvary to save every man, woman, boy, girl, not just the nation of Israel, but every man, woman, child upon planet Earth. He shed his blood for all sin. Hey, folks. He still loves Israel, though, and he didn't throw them off because a bunch of what ifs in the Old Testament. He says, thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob. And you know what he told Jacob? That there would be a time of Jacob's troubles coming. We started quoting books back in Daniel, and if you want to find where God said that there's going to be a time of Jacob's troubles, it's going to be way back in Daniel. And you're going to find that he's going to set a time. And Jesus spoke in the New Testament about shortening that time because of how bad the time truly is. And you say, well, mark the time, preacher. And we could do that this morning, and that may fulfill other folks, but I really want to get to preaching the love of God. Amen. And listen, for Jacob, it's a good thing in this chapter that the prophet says his anger will not go on forever and that he's a God that loves mercy. And for their sakes, maybe that end time will be shortened because he's a God that loves mercy. But folks, I'm here to tell you, he doesn't just deal with Jacob. He says, and the mercy to Abraham. You know, Abraham was the friend of God. Amen. Do you know that in Abraham, all the world was promised to be blessed, not just Israel. There are promises specifically to Israel, and it's a place that every spot that the foot of Abraham touched was going to be their inheritance. Do you know that they've got something coming to them? That God, listen, God didn't give that to the church. He gave that to the inheritance, listen, to the bloodline of Abraham. But I preached last week about some better blood that came along. And God tore the middle wall of partition down that he said, and that middle wall of partition was the difference between Gentile and Jew. And in this age that we currently live in, God has grafted us together and made his church. And he will call this church out before the time of Jacob's troubles. Why? Because he promised it. Why? Because he loved it. And in this verse, he says, thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob. In our day, the great error that has gotten so many people off on all kinds of tangents is because they're trying to marry the church or put the church where Israel ought to be and Israel where the church ought to be. That is the great error, and 99.9% of all the people, I'm not talking about the virus now, listen up, I'm talking about the church. 99.8 or 9, whatever you want to say, all the errors that come through and mess up doctrine because people mess up where Israel ought to be and where God's church ought to be in Scripture. Now take your Bibles with me, if you would, this morning, and I want you to turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I hope I got it marked so I can beat you there. But love, God's love is incomparable. We started about this flower and saying, God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. We don't have to weigh out the other side. Too many times in the Christian life, a lot of times we don't measure the way God measures. And we try to compare our works and try to equal his love. And we can never get to that place. We try to work our works. Do you know, I said this in my class, and I have to say this again, but as a believer, once I realized how much my dad really loved me, I knew that I was incapable. I could not please him every minute of every day. But it doesn't mean that I didn't set forth to please my father. Because I realized when I became a father, you know, this changed for me. Preacher, I know this had to be for you. I didn't really understand the love of God until I became a father. And I realized that even when my children do wrong and I have to chasten them, that they're still the apple of my eye. I never stopped loving them. And the only reason I do correct or I do try to get them back in the path is for their good and my glory. Because when my children walk in right paths, when I hear that they're doing right, that glory comes to me as the right kind of father. And the same thing can be attributed to an almighty God. There's never a time that his heritage or those that he's purchased with his own blood that get out of step with him or get out of line with him. It's not a time, well, now God's mad with me and he doesn't love me anymore. No, 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 folks. He sent his son to die on Calvary for you. Too many times we spend our lives thinking that God is some angry God up in heaven or an angry man who is just waiting to crush us when we fail. He is not that kind of God at all. He is the loving parent, and when he does chasten, he's trying to chasten us back in. But the love has never waned. The love has never slipped. The love has never tried. Listen, you can see God's incomparable love God's love is seen best. One of the ways is in his uncomparable pardon, if I could say it that way. Do you realize God has pardoned us? Every one of us, we talked about it last week as Adam plunged all the race of man into sin. But now, even if we were just guilty ourselves or we were measured upon our own goodness or our own actions, every one of us would be guilty and on our way to hell. Every one of us. Because our righteousness is as filthy rags when it's compared to Jesus, but his love is incomparable, and he doesn't matter how high or how good you are or how low he's got to reach down to get you, but he sent his son to die on Calvary for you. Here in the book of Second Timothy. I may have said First Timothy. I'm sorry. I'm not sure if I wrote it down right. Let me check this. Yes, we'll be in First Timothy. I said it right. I just got in the wrong book. Amen. I marked the wrong book. How's that? When I looked down, I said, that ain't right, preacher. 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at it with me. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. One of the reasons that his love or his pardon is so great, it's so uncomparable, is because his pardon didn't just go to you, me, or those that would choose him back. It went to every man. When Jesus died on Calvary and he penned down the pardon, he put every man on the line. You say, preacher, that's something I know, but why don't you weigh it out in your mind just how uncomparable God's love is to anything else that you could love? You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, when I start marking out how big God's love is for me, the only comparison I can make is my love for him. His love can't be compared to my wife, or can't be compared to my parents and how they love me. None of that love can be really compared. It doesn't measure up. It doesn't ever, I couldn't stack it high enough. But when I start to break it down and I look at his pardon, I think, man, God's love is so broad. God's love is so outreaching. God's love is so undiscriminating. God's love is so wonderful, it is to every man. It's not just to every man. That pardon is covering all sin. God didn't lump one sin or another sin. And we could preach on sin in here this morning. And we could hit all, we could go all the way down. We could hit everybody's sin that we don't like in the world. We could say, oh, being liberal. We could say, oh, you know, Joe Biden. We could say all this, a gas pump prices, you know. I mean, we could preach on all these sins. We could preach on homosexuality and transgenderism and all the things. We could rip off whoremongers and sodomites. We could name it everywhere you want, but we could come all the way down to where God boils it down and says, all liars. And boy, every one of us would have a target on us. You say, preacher, I'm not a liar. Well, how many lies does it take to make you a liar? Just one. You didn't ever tell one? I told one before I knew I was telling it. I was a little boy and mom had cookies. She said, don't eat them. I said, uh-huh. She left her room and I ate one. The evidence was on my face. But I didn't know that. I didn't have a mirror. Mom come back and said, did you eat that cookie? She knew I had eaten that cookie. But she asked me anyway. She set me up. I could have been sinless. No, I'm just... We can laugh about that. But hey, folks, if it hadn't have been there, it had been somewhere else. It hadn't have been at that moment I could... Listen, if I was being honest with you, and I'm not going to trudge out all my closet and bring out the skeletons that are there, but listen, that ain't the only one I told. That ain't the only thing I've ever done wrong. And if you were to measure yourself and to look, you would realize it isn't just one sin that made you a sinner. Hey, my righteousness and your righteousness, as the Word of God says, are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Hey, his pardon is so great because he didn't just forgive one. He took care of many, not just for us collectively, but for me individually. What a great pardon. It's uncomparable love. Think about this. Not only just that, but how about if we measured it this way? I think about just, this is so wonderful. I don't know. Look, turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, you know, I did mark this one right. It's the only book of Romans in there. Amen. Romans chapter 5. And you know where I'm going. He not only extended it to every man, he covered all sin, but while I was yet a sinner, he didn't put conditions on his love to me. He didn't say, when you get good enough, or when you come to this place in your life, or you do this. He says that while I was yet a sinner. Look at Romans chapter 5. What a blessing to realize, to read and think about it. We'll go back to verse 8 or verse 6. We're going to go to verse 8, but verse 6 is, for when we were yet without strength, not just while I was in my sins, but when I was without strength to do anything on my own, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, folks, when I was without strength, when I was unable to pull myself up by my own bootstraps, even if God had given me a chance to turn the tables of this life, to outweigh my sins by my good deeds, God said I was without strength to even do that. That there was no ability. We like to measure in our own minds that we are strong enough to do enough good works to pile up against our bad. But when it really boils down to it, we are without strength to do any of those good things, to come to a place where we'd ever meet even. But there's a God in heaven who loved every man. He could cover all sin. And he did it while we were yet sinners. His pardon is so great. It's uncomparable. His love is so uncomparable. Number two, God's love is uncomparable because of the greatness of his person. Do you realize that when I start to think about God's, how much love, not just when I look at the pardon that I received because of the love of God, but when I look at his person, I can't help but think about how lovely he is. I'm a married man. I love my wife. I can't wait. Listen, there's nobody else that compares in my eyes to her. There's nobody that can measure up. There's no comparable person on planet Earth that I could give the same focus to. But listen, I have that same love to God. Can you think about a God on Earth that could ever measure up to who he is? Hey, let me start to tell you. You say, I've got a doctorate, not that I could work on you, physically, but I got a different doctorate, amen? And it's in theology. So let me just work through some of the theologians in the world. Do you know that there are people that think that, if you could just come and die for Allah, that's a really good God, isn't it? You come on and die for Allah and he'll give you all this stuff. That's a God that loves you. Sacrifice yourself and I'll give you heaven. Or their heaven. Hey, we could measure up other things. We could go to Buddhism, all these different things. Hey, you come to us and I'll reincarnate you. That sounds good. I'm not looking to come back as a cricket. And what my scared, listen, I love steak. You think I love chicken, but I love steak more than chicken. Hey, I don't want to come back as a cow. All right? I was pattying hamburger the other day, thinking to myself, people think they're coming back as this. That's what their religion teaches them. Hey, folks, we could go down the list of how great our God is, but there's no other religion in all the world that teaches that God in heaven came from heaven and lived a perfect life for you, then rose up on the third day with his own power after he gave up the life that he took on, 100% man and 100% God, and then walked down to death and hell and took the keys and walked out as victor of all time, and then stood on heaven's shores and said, I pardon. Pardon every man. I pass a pardon on every man, on all sin, on everybody that will come unto me. And I don't know about you, but while I was yet a sinner, Jesus did that. He's so great because of his person. I believe what I believe not because I haven't studied other things. I believe what I believe because it's the truth. And because there is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. When I called out upon a name, the name I called on was Jesus Christ. It's the only name that'll save, folks. Hey, I don't know about you today, but there's an incomparable love of a person, and his name is Jesus. I study his book, and I love him more every day. I love him because he's eternal. We could turn to Psalms chapter 90. Go there with me. I want you to see it today. I know we're going to use the Bible a little bit. Go there. I think this will help us today if we read a little bit about him. Do you know his person? It's not like his love is ever going to run out or he's ever going to change. He's eternal. In Psalms chapter 90 and verse 4, we'll read verses 3 and 4. He says, "Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." You know, some nights in my life I get wearied by work. And many of you know how long a night can be, but the longest night that you've ever spent thinking, wishing sleep would come, or you passed a night and how quick it could go. I fell asleep last night and it was morning. I said, where did it go? Listen, God's eternity for us is just that quick to him. His eternities, he's always going to be. Yes, we could turn to the book of Hebrews and he would be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. But I want you to see, while we're in Psalms, go to 145, chapter 145. I want you to see how holy God is. Do you know there are people that our love on earth is so conditional, because it's conditional upon when we make our vows, it's conditional about keeping ourselves one just for us, just between each other. We make those vows and we try to keep those vows, and we love God and we want to walk with him and we want to picture him. But listen, even in the best marriage relationship and keeping ourselves just for that other person, we're never going to measure up to his holiness. God's never going to do us wrong. God's never going to make a choice for himself that is not for our good and for his glory. Look at verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Do you know we live in this day and age? And I must say this. That last verse is them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. You know there are people that use the name of Jesus, but they're not talking about my Jesus. As we approach the end times, there is a spirit of Antichrist that works among us, and there will be people that come up and bring out a name, and they'll call it Jesus, but it won't be the Jesus that we worship. It won't be the Jesus that can save every man. It won't be the one that should be worshiped. It will be the one that will set up an earthly kingdom. But Jesus, the true Jesus, will come back and lay waste to all those things on earth. Listen, many of you say, well, preacher, that's at the end of the book. Yes, at the end of the book, but that's upon us. I still believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I believe Jesus is coming back for his own, but then a Jesus will be revealed who is not a true one. But you know, even in our day, people preach a false Jesus. They preach a Jesus that's just a prophet, but not God. They preach Jesus that came and sacrificed himself, but it's Jesus plus this, this, and this. It's not in any other name plus baptism that saves. It's calling upon the true Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, plus nothing. Across the world wide, people that worship everything else are willing to add Jesus to whatever they believe, but it is Jesus plus nothing. If you have found your way into our auditorium this morning and you are a guest here, please understand I'm not upset with you or anything that you've ever been told. But if you are resting your faith upon Jesus and works, you are lost and on your way to hell. If you are resting your faith in Jesus plus your baptism, it's Jesus plus nothing. You say, I see some of you looking at me funny, so I'll make an illustration. If you believe Jesus plus works, then it's like, as I've said this before, it's like taking a plane ride with Jesus. And Jesus takes off, and he gets us to 40,000 feet, and then he comes over the microphone and says, all right, everybody, this is your pilot, Jesus. Thank you for being on board. Jesus Airlines, amen. And then he says, now focus on this, folks. Then he says, I got you up here to 40,000 feet, but now you need to work off the rest of your salvation. So I'm going to turn the engines off now, and pedals are going to come out of the floor. And you need to keep her up here for us, and then I'll land it on the back end. Folks, you may think that that's a funny illustration, but that's exactly what some people believe. They believe it's Jesus plus works, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He doesn't add baptism. He doesn't add works. He doesn't add. And if you think that, then how in the world did the guy on the other cross that was hung with Jesus, what works did he do other than just believe? He didn't get baptized, but Jesus said, today you'll be with me. He didn't get down and win some people to Christ. He wasn't a good witness. He didn't even have any clothes on. He was a bad testimony. Amen. But because Jesus died for every man, his sins were covered. Because he died for every sin, including whatever he was guilty of on the other cross. Because Jesus, folks, listen to me now. Because his pardon reached, stretched far and wide, that man got into. You say, well, that's just because he didn't have a chance. Those of us that had a chance. Yeah. Wherever you find that in the Bible, you can come show it to me. But I've been studying it for a long time. And that's real convenient for some preachers to preach. All right? But it's not in the book. It's real, you know, if I was worried about getting your money and making you work, I'd say, hey, it's Jesus plus tithing. It's Jesus plus baptism, because we want to run our baptism up. It's Jesus plus works. It's none of those things. It's Jesus and him alone that can save. It's his finished work, not Jesus and your works. It's Jesus and his finished work of Calvary. He said, you just believe in easy believing. No, if you think what Jesus did for you was easy, you got another thing coming. And the hardest thing to do in this Christian life is to put your faith in Jesus Christ and not try to trust in your own works, but to rest in him. Because many of us, this thing gets in our way. This mind of ours, we want to feel like we are doing something. We didn't do anything for salvation except for accept it and call upon the name of the Lord. Then our work starts. That baptismal tank is the first step of obedience for someone who is already saved. Yeah. Running a bus route or praying and living right and being in the church and all the things that we could measure as works, those are things that Christians do, not what we do to keep it. He's the keeper. He's the saver. He's the Lord of all. That is why his love is uncomparable, because there's a lot of people that preach a false Jesus, and there's a bunch of people who are resting their trust in Jesus plus other things, and he will not share his glory with all those other things. It is Jesus and him alone. Lastly, let me say, God's love is uncomparable because of the greatness, if I could say this, like the greatness of the price that he paid. Folks, many of us don't understand just what it took. What it took. Can you imagine being God and knowing what every nail, every piece of layer of skin would feel like as the nail pierced his hands? Can you imagine knowing ahead of time what it's going to feel like before you're ever made in flesh, but you know it's going to feel like to have the beard torn out of your face? To know what it's going to feel like to have a crown of thorns pressed upon your head with a reed beaten in. I'm not talking about thorns like we have here. I'm talking thorns like nails through his skull. Can you imagine him thinking about what that cat of nine tails was going to feel like after whip, after whip, after whip, as it tore and shredded his body? The great price that he paid for us. Folks, even today, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father as our intercessor. Standing, he didn't just stand in our place for salvation. He still stands in the gap. Daily hedging us up with protection. Daily sending the grace and the mercies that we desperately need on a daily basis to live in this present evil world. You say, preacher, his love is it's uncomparable. So what do you want us to do? Why don't you accept it? For those of you that have never accepted Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. For those of you that have known about Jesus for years, but you've added other works to it, maybe you were not worshiping him in truth, but only in partial truth. Today, shed all those other things of believing in baptism, believe only in salvation through grace and belief in Jesus Christ. I mean, faith unto grace. I don't know about you, but for me as a believer, my works are as filthy rags is what the Bible says. I want his work, his finished work to be. When I stand before Jesus Christ and I'm going to answer for all the things, when I'm standing at heaven's gate and I want to get in, I won't be saying, look what I did. I'll be saying, look what Jesus did for me. This is my ticket. My pardon is right here, folks. It's written in this book. He's the way, the truth, and the life. If you're here and you've been trusting in your works plus Jesus' works, shed your own works and come to Christ in truth. If you're here and you say, I hope I'm saved, this is a truth. This is something you can hold on to. Salvation is something that you rest in. Don't go home hoping that you're saved. Going home knowing that you're saved. This book in 1 John 5:13 says that I know these things have I written unto you that ye may know that you have eternal life. Folks, so many times people live in hope when they can know that they know that they know that they're on their way to heaven. If you're here today and you've been saved but you need to be baptized, make it today. If you need to give something to God, maybe there's stuff between you and Him and you need to repent and come to God and make it right. You need to rededicate your life. Why don't you do that this morning? As we have invitation, would you bow your heads and close your eyes as the musicians come and you stand to your feet? Folks, how many of you today would say, Preacher, I need to be saved? The way you've explained salvation from the Word of God, I need to accept Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? Is there one anywhere that says, Preacher, I need to be saved? Pray for me. Is there one? I want to pray for you this morning. I don't see any hands. Hold it up where I could see it if you would. Listen, we're about to have an old-fashioned altar call. You need to rededicate your life. You need to be baptized. You need to be saved. There are people in the front that'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Maybe you were reluctant to raise your hand. But listen, do this for me. Don't wait another day. Step out and come and do what God has asked you to do this morning. Come and receive the incomparable love of Jesus Christ, as Brother Bert sings.
As I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
With me this morning as we continue the altar call today. If you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, I pray you wouldn't put it off. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and nobody's looking but me and God, if you really do need to be saved and you want to trust in Him, why don't you step out and come? Don't wait for the singing to start again. Just step out and come and settle it with God. Get saved. Accept Him as your Savior. We've had several people come. Maybe you're here and you need to transfer your membership. Maybe you need to join by baptism, whatever it is today. We'd love to have you come in as a member, or just for you to pray with somebody and get back to the walk that you want to have with Almighty God. As Brother Bert sings, you do whatever God has asked you to do.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen. We're going to let you be seated. We have just a few things to share with you this morning. And we thank God for all that got saved last week and the folks that come. And without a doubt, I'm sure that there'll be others coming and pray. And if you invited one of those folks that got saved last week, invite them to come back and join this church. Amen. And so Brother Steve Clark has come today, and he's going to move his membership back with us here at Landmark Baptist Church. Brother Steve, if you'll come up here and stand with me. And he's been a good member, but we need to vote on him. All right, and so everybody with your right hand, amen, and so carried, all the members. And we want you to come by and give him the right hand of fellowship. Brother Steve, if you'll just sit down just for a second. And then Miss Carol Dickerson comes today, and she's rededicating her life, amen. And we've visited with her, and she really has wanted to come, and it's not easy for her. She watches and listens to our services on a weekly basis, and she feels like she's a member with us. She just can't be in the building with us, and folks are like that all the time. And so she came today so that she could rededicate her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And so you come and also shake her hand and make her feel welcome as well, being here and doing that. And I'm so thankful for her being here and thankful for everybody that visited the church today. And I pray every one of you today, I know that many of you may have come and maybe you were hesitant to walk the aisle, but today I'll be at the back door. And if you need to be saved, if you were hesitant, I would love to talk to you about salvation. I'd love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you didn't walk the aisle, please don't leave today without getting that straight. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. And if Brother Steve, if you'll come back, Miss Carol, we'll push you back just a little bit. And folks, if you'll come and shake their hand and tell them how much you'll be praying for them and thankful for them coming back in. Brother Congdon, would you come and close us in prayer?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. We thank you for visitors that have come to be with us. We thank you for these that have come forward this morning and made public their decisions. And may you bless them and be with them, Father, through this day. And Father, we just thank you now for a love, Father, that's unconditional that you've showed towards us. And Father, that you demonstrated that love in your death on the cross. And thank you for the victory we have in a Savior who loved us and died for us and rose again and lives forevermore. And pray for one that might not have that victory this morning, that you'll, Father, just tug on that heart. And Father, just may they make that decision final this morning and get it settled. Be with us now as we're dismissed. We thank you again for your blessings. Be with us as we rest this afternoon and get ready for the service tonight. Bring us back in again. We'll thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.